going to get messy. And yes, Iran has just launched drone strikes, a continuation. Minimal. We do have a, what's called a briar net with that area. So everybody is positioning themselves. We knew this was coming. It would be considered minimal. What they're doing right now is minimal. Extremely minimal. But I do have to tell you, if that briar net is activated by Israel, many lives will be lost. They will attempt to respond in proportion to the attack at first. Things continue to escalate. They're going to go full steam ahead. All right, everybody, I'm going offline for a moment. Let me get this repaired. That was a lot, I do admit. But the power supply is replaced. Stand by. Everybody, stand by. Good evening, you guys. I'm only on for a second. Let's get some recording action here. There we go. I'm going to record this locally just so we can have it. Also, possibly in case I open my big mouth on something I'm not supposed to. Let's do that. This later. I'm blind here, guys, so sorry. I can't answer any questions. I'm operating remotely here. And a power supply had gone out, but that's corrected. I believe everything should be operational. Just in case the sound is intermittent. This is going through a repeater. It's about a 1 minute delay in everything I'm doing. So feedback is almost non-existent. Or not feedback, but it's too slow to really interact in the way I would like to. But of course, you guys know, Iran has launched its partial assault. Here's what you may not know. This is going to cause a problem, so I want you guys to be aware of this, just so that you have a good idea of the battle. Iran launched drone assaults against Israel all over the place, right? People will cover that, of course, as it comes in. Here's the part you may not know. This is going to cause a bit of a stink. It's one of the reasons why I do not gravitate towards negotiations, promises in the Middle East. Iran, when they launched those drones, no doubt the media is covering that they're intercepted by, many of them were intercepted by Saudi Arabia, correct? Now, we have a long-standing pact with Saudi Arabia. We do. What that means is we have remote stations in Saudi Arabia. So in essence, those interceptions were ours. Just imagine this. Imagine we have remote intercept units in different places of the Middle East. They're operated from Texas, right? And we employ those units, right? Which will intercept drones based on their capacity from Saudi Arabia, from the Saudi kingdom. Now, if the Saudis take credit for that, that's going to be a big problem because they already have deals with Iran. And ultimately, we're going to be blamed. You know, that cat's going to be out of the bag. If it ever comes to the point where, you know, these units have to be disclosed, we're going to be severely dethroned in the Middle East. That's going to be very bad, right? If somebody gets nervous in Saudi Arabia, they could give up the locations of these remote stations That could be very bad. That would be just terrible, right? So Saudi Arabia could easily give up the locations of those intercept bases if they're pressured. Normally, when Saudi Arabia is pressured, they do waver quite a bit. Keep that in mind. That's a big problem. If that ever happens, of course, those locations are going to be given up. They will become primary targets. They will be hit. And it will severely diminish our air power and coverage and defense power in the Middle East. At some point, we know something like that happens, according to prophecy. Because in prophecy, the alliance in the Middle East went in to Jerusalem and took it. So we know that. We know somehow our defense system failed in the Middle East. We know that somehow our readiness was overwhelmed by Middle Eastern factions. We know that at some point, everything we did was for naught. We know that by reading Daniel chapter 11. We know that. Now, many have their interpretation about the book of Daniel. Of course, I'm the oddball of the bunch. I see a few different things here, but basically it's a blueprint to what's happening right now. Parts of what's happening right now. Right? So if you ever cover the part in Revelation, Daniel, and you get to see this sentiment of this individual in the Middle East, which is Daniel chapter 11, 31, for example, says, or states, or something close to this, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and take away the daily sacrifice, and place the abomination that make it desolate. That's because the talks with the king of the south failed. Right? They totally failed. But here it is, folks. What could be so bad that would happen in the Middle East? What would happen in the Middle East so bad that would cause the Islamic world to come together against Israel almost immediately? That's what you all think about tonight. Tonight could be, it could really turn into a disaster. It really could. I mean, a big disaster. Okay? A big disaster. Let me see if I can cover this whole thing. There are two kings in the Middle East of which a feud happens. Daniel 11:26, 27:28, or 28 specifically says, one of the king of the north is going to return with great riches, and his heart shall be against the Holy Covenant. And he shall do exploits and return to his own land. So he will do many great things. He'll prosper, just like these Middle Eastern factions are prospering now. They're doing great things. They're making great strides. I mean, big strides, right? Space programs, nuclear missile armaments, air defense systems. Right, so these guys are excellent at in the cyber world. So what's happening is the king of the south and the king of the north in the book of Daniel. Now a lot of people have not seen this. I don't know why, but if you read the book of Daniel, the king of the south is known as the prince of the holy covenant. There is only one holy covenant in the whole world, and that is Israel, God's covenant with his people, the Jews. The king of the south is the prince of the holy covenant. He's in charge over the holy covenant. The king of the north is a Persian king. So you have a Persian king and the king of the south. Again, the king of the south is the prince of the holy covenant, which is why it says, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant, which is the promise with Israel. The Islamic world believes they are entitled to that land, not Israel. Right? And it says, so shall I do, and he shall even return and have intelligence or information with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. So all those in the Middle East who forsake the Holy Covenant, every single last one of those folks who forsake the Holy Covenant, which means they do not believe that Israel has a right to be there, kind of like some of the sickos that are within the U.S. and Germany and other places who believe that Israel does not have the right to be there. Yes, I said it, because they are sickos. They have indignation against the Holy Covenant. Now, listen, because it says he's going to have indignation against the Holy Covenant, so shall I do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them, plural, that forsake the Holy Covenant. That was Daniel 11:30. Daniel 11:31 says, and arms shall stand on his part. That means armies, military power. What you see happening now is a combination of many nations who have assisted Iran in their attack plots. This is not solely Iranian equipment. You're looking at multinational equipment in Iran, a coordinated effort against Israel. Continue to follow me. So, in Daniel, we're in chapter 11, 30. He'll have intelligence or information with all of those who forsake the Holy Covenant. And then it states, this is the ball drop in Daniel 11:31. And it says, and arms shall stand on his part. In other words, this Persian convinces them, this person of Persian descent convinces them. And so they join in with him. So military power is given to this individual. And it says, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. So what do we have here? Do you not know that what Iran is using for communications is a Russian-built system? Don't you know that? Do you not know that some of the greatest scientists in the world have been helping Iran since the 80s? Don't you know that? Don't you know there's a reason no one has gone into Iran? Don't you know that? It's almost like Iran has been preserved according to prophecy, because they are the ones who have the greatest indignation or hatred. I mean, severe hatred towards the Holy Covenant. Iranda. And with this coalition of forces that join Iran, as they're doing right now, right? Because the drones and the guidance systems that Iran is using, you know who those belong to, don't you? One of the most prominent drone makers in the world. That's helping. Right? They're the ones who are providing the guidance for Iran. It's called China. China. Do you know that those in Iraq have threatened our forces? Do you know that other forces in the Middle East are having to draw back right now as we speak? Because they do not tell you the truth on the news. They cover what other people want them to cover. Why would they ever tell anybody the true battle plan? You have the battle plan. It's in Daniel 11. All you need to do is observe it. Watch it. It will unfold. Saudi Arabia. It's very delicate equipment in Saudi Arabia that belongs to the USA. And indeed NATO. If Saudi Arabia is pressured, they're going to give up the locations of these remote bases. A remote base is a base where nobody has to be there. It's more like an autonomous base. It is critical for defense. It is critical for offense. And just in case you don't know, you do realize that Benjamin Netanyahu has a strong desire to destroy the nuclear facilities that enrich uranium in Iran. Do you know what that would take? You cannot just launch, you know, you can't even launch a nuclear weapon against Iran and take out their nuclear capabilities. You can't do that. That's a hardened facility within the earth. So what would have to happen is a penetrator type device would have to be used. Something like a bunker buster. Here's the only difference. Can man cause earthquakes? Yes, with ordnance. That's why they discontinued certain tests of high-yield explosives for that very reason. But they would have to use a few just to get to Iran's hardened nuclear facilities underneath the ground. Of all the attacks and cyber assaults, nothing has touched their hardened facilities. Nothing. There have been operations after operations, an attempt, right, to infiltrate, to get below there. Nobody ever comes up. Here's the truth. You ready? Iran has a force, a special group of people who are born to fight. And if you're familiar with the Mossad or Delta Operator Special Forces, those who have tangled with these individuals never want to see them again. They cause fear. These people are born to die. They are, by all means, superhuman, different, bred for death, not for life, for death. And all who have encountered them, to date, no one has made it outside of their grasp. Not one person. All they have are radio calls. And that's it. No one has ever come back from them. They have, this is my estimation based on some of the interactions that took place with Iraq and Iran back in the 80s and 90s. They probably have, I'd say close to 800,000, 700,000 to 800,000 of those soldiers. Probably. The average weight of those soldiers is about 350 pounds. They're extremely agile. They are of a certain height. And they're bred for war. Nothing else. Nothing else. If these electronic centers are knocked out in the Middle East, it could easily turn into a ground war. There would be no repeat of the Iraq war. If you're thinking about Iraq, that was you can't even call that a war. That was a strategic bombardment of a country who had no defense against those NATO nations that were coming up against them. Their army surrendered. Right? They were surrendering left and right. Why? They had antique equipment. Iran is not that way. These guys are experts at hiding things from the world, calling people's bluff. They play innocent right up to the last moment. Then they begin to consume. Saudi Arabia has the locations. There is a cache of intelligence in Saudi Arabia. I don't think that was a good move, but that's the way it is. Right now, Saudi Arabia can easily be compromised. They can be pressured. If you guys start seeing Saudi Arabia come under pressure from those in the Middle East, and you might want to buckle up for real, because that means we're going to lose our electronic advantage. We're going to lose our eyes on the Middle East. Right now, as this attack is taking place, of course, all forces have been alerted. All forces. The wild card is what will Benjamin Netanyahu do concerning Iran in taking out those hardened nuclear facilities? That is the big question mark. Should we start to see that? Right? Everybody right now is getting into position quickly. They have to, because they're unsure what he will do. We all know his sentiment that for years he's been talking about doing this. Now that Iran has attacked Israel. And yes, even though some of their drones were intercepted by certain remote bases in Saudi Arabia, controlled in Texas, even though they were taken out, that opens up a door to long-held battle plans. An offensive that will be devastating, quick and devastating if things go right. Listen, though, Saudi Arabia is stuck in the middle. They can easily be pressured. And if you knew what they were bringing to bear, that would change your opinion of any passivity you may have. As these forces get ready in the Middle East, the wild card is what will Benjamin Netanyahu do? And the most critical card for Allied air defense, for the UN, for NATO, for those forces allied against aggressors such as Iran, the most critical place that can never be compromised is Saudi Arabia. If they are compromised, they're going to give up the locations of all the electronic bases or node bases in the Middle East. When that happens, everything turns into a ground war. And that will be the only time the Mossad would ever run. If heavy retaliation comes against Iran, right, that can be easily perceived by an attack from Israel upon Iran. If that happens, bombardment will flow out in the Middle East. A bombardment. We too are in the crosshairs. Hypersonics would be used too. That's why yesterday and the day before that, they were talking about keeping the response or the assault down to a minimal. They were trying to assure the people, the folks that understand what the arrangement in the Middle East is, they were trying to keep people calm. Because they do understand that hypersonics are used, which means if a person launches a missile from the Middle East towards the USA, there's no prep time. No prep time. There is no intercepting a hypersonic. You know, they lied in the Ukraine with Russia and the Ukraine, just so you know. When somebody uttered they intercepted a hypersonic, that was a lie. That was not a hypersonic missile. That was a big one, a big bogus lie. And they do that to bolster support so they can send money. When people support war efforts, people do not have a problem with that country sending money. They did that so that people would agree to send money to the Ukraine. But now everything is failing. People are fatigued with war. This night is a strange one indeed. It is. Now we all have hopes that things do not escalate to the point to where we are touched. The blueprint is in the book of Daniel. Now I bring that up again to let you guys know that despite the actions and counteractions taken in the Middle East, what will ultimately happen according to the book of Daniel is a coalition of Islamic forces, Middle Eastern forces, will overwhelm all defenses in the Middle East, and they will take Jerusalem. You do know what happens when Jerusalem is taken. Do you guys understand what happens? A lot of people say, well, you know, that's when Jerusalem is taken. That's when they set up the abomination and desolation, but then they say, but that can't happen unless there is a temple. The people got themselves in trouble in the time of Christ when they started saying what can't happen. When you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place. Now let me remind you of two things here. Two things. You know that statement when it says he shall stand in the temple of God showing himself as God? Did you ever consider once what the New Testament says about both those phrases? Because we have to consider everything the Lord is telling us, not one or two things. In the Old Testament, yes, we would need a solid structure for that to happen. Not in the New. In the New Testament, you have become the temple. You're the temple made without hands. And for an abomination to occupy the temple means that somebody would occupy your heart. When it stands in the holy place, you are considered the holy place. That holy place is your heart and soul. And if a man stands in your heart and soul, which is why I cannot stand man worship, because people are doing it right now. But a person stands in your heart and soul. That's an abomination. Do you know why? Because we are to worship the Lord our God only, and in Him we are to trust. Now, in most cases in the Bible, things are echoed. And what I mean by an echo, there's a spiritual part of it. There is a physical part of it. But in the New Testament, all those experts in the Word of God could not see the Messiah. Why? God blinded them because they refused to see him, even in the time of Jeremiah. But why? I'll tell you why. They fell in love with being right about the doctrine. That's why. If you fall in love with being right, your major concern is going to be to be that person who's right in front of everybody else, and you're going to be spiritually blinded, a dead man inside. They were so captivated that they had all the knowledge, that they were saying everything right. They had become as fools. They had become blind. When they became blind, they lost their spiritual sight. They could not discern spiritual things. In the Word of God, it says the Bible must be understood spiritually, not physically. Spiritually. If it's going to be understood spiritually, then the remarks of Christ are key to the prophecies laid out all throughout the Word of God. Because the Lord promised that men would do it again. The same thing they did in the time of Christ, they would do it again in the end days. They would miss the end days because they would think that they're right about what they're saying. I make all effort in my own personal life not to be right, but to acknowledge that the Father's right. To remain teachable, correctable. It says he's going to cause. He's going to put an end to sacrifices. Right? That's what it says. He's going to cause oblation to cease. He'll exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. And shall speak things against the God of gods and shall prosper. See, I cannot help but to see a few scenarios that could play out. But I know that the words of Christ will come to pass. I know that there's a reason he warned us. And he put it in the disciples' mouth to tell all of us. He said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. You are the temple made without hands. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God. If you have a born-again spirit, that's what you are. but something. Why is it that we get to the end days and there are so many people in the USA sympathetic to Hamas? Why do we have so many people sympathetic to tyrants in the world? What in the world is happening? I'll tell you what's happening. It's called prophecy. All those who believe. In their own paradigm. I just give you that small caution. Keep your spiritual ears open. Do you guys know what they do with the wall? Anybody? They pray, but not just any prayer. You know what those are? Prayer. And go and look for yourselves. That is, in fact, a sacrifice. You know that. What they're doing, right, is a type of prayer that's also a sacrifice. Just so you know. Now, we know that if any Islamic leader came in and took over Jerusalem, they would put a halt to prayer at the wall. We know that's being contested right now. We know what the Dome of the Rock is. Is that not Solomon's temple? Is there not a black rock there already? Didn't they already set up, didn't they already in time set up an abomination that caused that place to be emptied out? Yes, they did. See, here's the problem. Suppose a child is born during the thousand-year reign. They're not going to be able to perceive the thousand-year reign. The folks who are going to know it's the thousand-year reign are those who lived before it, right? We're born into a world we thought was normal. As God continues to uncover your eyes, you find out things are happening all around you. In fact, you find out you're immersed in one of the most divisive times in all of history. It's very difficult to tell what time you live in. Very difficult. Now, our Father knows, and this is why it's important for us to have our ears open to the Most High. We can all have our opinions, but we all know that the Father is always right. I can also tell you that what's about to happen to people is premature. They're going to say it's premature. Well, let me share this with you. Nothing is premature. Nothing. If anything were to truly be premature, it would have escaped the control of our Father. Do you guys think that happens? I do not. What about the physical temple? Well, that can be also. We know that another temple is going to be built. They have plans to build it. They have plans to sacrifice in that temple. But listen to me carefully. We also know that there are people in Israel right now who will strike agreements with the Islamic world and compromise at all levels of faith. They'll do so to save their own skins. Kind of like Judas. Keep in mind that they would go through the motions to build a temple and defile it. See, the problem is, if anybody builds a temple, then anything that goes in there to do anything is going to be an abomination or desolation. Do you know that? If they build a temple and they mock Christ, even through their own devotion, they become an abomination. That's why the Lord said at one time, He said, I hate your feasts, days, and your solemn assemblies. You guys have read the same. Why would God have that sentiment against His own people? Because they themselves were in error, and you cannot present anything to God without being cleansed. You have to be in alignment to present things to the living God, or else you present only abominations. You commit abominations. Only God can deem one clean. Yeah, that works. So the physical manifestation of the temple, sure. But also there's a part in the Bible I never shared with you guys. Will a temple be rebuilt? Yes. And it's described in the Bible. But you guys will not like it if I read it. Nobody would. Because it would throw preconceived notions right out the window. It would affirm some things also. What I'm telling you is this, right? God put it in the hearts of many of his people, some passionate things. All those passionate things are going to come to pass. But they may not be in the order we think. They may not come about as we think, but the Lord surely put that in the hearts of his people. He did. Concerning the abomination of desolation, I personally believe that's twofold. I do. During the time, if Middle Eastern factions took Jerusalem right now, do you know what they would do? You know what they want to do? Huh? Anybody? This is what they want to do. They want to actually get a temple constructed. Listen to me. They want a temple constructed, and they want to defile it. Why? Because it's outlined in their own faith. That would be a gift to what they serve. To defile and to break down all other false gods. This is from the Islamic world. So they would desecrate the very thing they build. We all know what they did in 70 AD. And who did that? The Romans. These days approach quickly. I know it's going to happen in my lifetime. I do. I have great confidence about that. But do you know what time you're in? Do you guys know what hour you're in? Lord will not have us ignorant concerning the devices of the enemy. He does not want us to be blind to the season we're in. He doesn't. But he does not want us to lose our heads. Because see, if he told us, if he gave us a date, right, when he would come and do his thing, if he gave us a date, do you know what we would do? Suppose he said he was coming to get us 28 years from now. Many of you would be heartbroken, although it's no big deal. Some of you would do weird things until he would come, and then you would straighten yourself up at the last minute. But he didn't tell a soul. No one knows the day nor the hour. They don't know the day nor the hour. It's very important. We can know the season, but we're not going to know the day nor the hour. But we know it soon, because everything is changing, right? Everything is. Now, we know the end of the matter. We know that Jerusalem is going to be taken. We know this. We know it's going to be taken. We know they're going to set up the abomination that make it desolate. And let me read this to you. It says, when this guy is grieved and returns to his own land and has indignation against the Holy Covenant, right? The Prince of the Holy Covenant is the one in charge. Anytime somebody in those days was appointed over the lands, they were considered a prince of that land. In this case, in the book of Daniel, the Prince of the South is the Prince of the Holy Covenant. There's only one Holy Covenant. And that Holy Covenant is the covenant with God and his people. That is Israel. There is no other Holy Covenant, because everything else is unholy. Nothing else has been sanctioned by the living God. So the Prince of the Holy Covenant is the King of Israel, or the one in charge of Israel. And the king of the north, if you start reading back, this is the guy that comes up from a small people. The one to whom they do not give honor of the kingdom, but he wins over the people by flatteries. He's richer than all the rest. He scatters among them the prey, the spoils, and the riches. He's a mastermind, tactfully. So it says, him and the king of the south sit down and tell lies at one table in the original language. That is a negotiation of politics. They tell lies at one table, they return to their own lands. Both plot against each other. At a certain point, the king of the south tries to go against the king of the north, right? But the ships of Shittim start troubling him. Right, he can't do it. It's not quite in position. So he returns to his own land with great indignation. And he starts talking to those who also have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So all those who hate Israel, and specifically Jerusalem, this individual starts talking to them. And he wins them over. And then they give him power over their armies. Remember in Revelation when it says God has put it in their hearts to agree and to fulfill his will? You remember that? The 10 kings who have no kingdom as of yet but will one hour with the beast. This king of the south is the beast. Then he has indignation against the Holy Covenant. He goes out and gets those who also have indignation against the Holy Covenant. And they come back and they take Israel. And it is gruesome. It is disastrous. What happens to those in Israel, those who listen to the Most High? God said, he told them, God will communicate to them, get out of Israel. To some he'll say, go and flee. Those in Judea flee into the mountains. To those who are in the middle of the city, right, he will tell them, flee, get out of here, go to the coastlines. Get out. To those who will not listen, who are spiritually deaf, they're going to be killed in that city. Now, some are going to be preserved. You know that passage where it says God's people are going to be strong and do exploits? You need to read the whole thing. Don't latch on to the good part, to the fairy tale part without the truth. Listen, the truth is the full weight of something, not half of it, right? So let me read this to you. Daniel 11:31, an arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination and make it desolate. Now, first of all, guess what? Even with the temple built, do they sacrifice every single day? No. But they do pray every single day, don't they? That is an oblation that they give. An oblation is rooted with, you know, that word obligation that we use, obligation, is within that word oblation. He's going to cause oblation to cease. So that prayer that they do is very special. It's done every day. Now, as far as sacrifices by way of the temple, they did not make sacrifices every single day. They didn't do that. Okay? That's not what they did. So we know when it says he's going to cause the daily sacrifice to cease, I can almost guarantee you these people back then said, what is he talking about, the daily sacrifice? There's no daily sacrifice. Oops, you see that? There was no daily sacrifice. But there is now. There's a word akin to that sacrifice that deals with the prayer, and that's the prayer at the wall. Let me continue. It says, an arms shall stand on his part. They're going to pollute the sanctuary of strength and take away the daily sacrifice and place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the Holy Covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Those that want to take advantage of Israel, he's going to corrupt by flatteries. But it says, but the people that do know their God, they will be strong to exploit. So Daniel 11:32 is talking about the people inside of Israel. Those who are inside Israel, who do wickedly against the covenant, they're going to give themselves over to this beast. The the other ones that are stern and steadfast. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many yet. So those that are strong, right? Those that are strong, that know their God, they're going to be strong and do exploits, and those that understand among the people shall instruct many yet. They shall fall by the sword, and by flame, and by captivity, and by spoil many days. We know what that many days is. 42 months. So those that are strong, right, and those that instruct many, right, they're going to die by weapons. They're going to die by flame. They're going to die by captivity. They're going to die by spoil. Many days. Listen now, when they shall fall, because some will be held, when they shall fall, they shall be hoping. It says hoping with little help. That means they're going to be helped out with very little help. And then it explains what type help. It says, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. In other words, when you are an oppressed people, and you're under siege, and you're dying every single day, and then some nation says, hey, we're going to do everything we can for you with the UN. That's cleaving to somebody with flatteries. That's embracing somebody with a false promise, with a bunch of words that are meaningless. But look at the outcome. Look what happens. And some of them understanding shall fall to try them, to purge, to make them white even to the time of the end, because it's for an appointed time. Do you see what your father's doing? So when they go in and occupy Israel, those people who are tortured, do you not know that God already have this in his plan? He already told us why he's going to allow this to happen. It is to purge them. See, can I remind you guys of something? The worst thing you have ever seen, God will always get the glory out of it. All too often, people don't know how, because they can only see the physical side of things. They do not know the liberation, or that spiritual mechanism of how spirit is liberated, in truth, freed. God uses such to purge people. The harsh times you've gone through, you were purged of many things only because of your harsh time. We all know that if we had a time of peace, there's no need to give up too much. But when a time of crisis comes, we are often purged of things we had no power to get rid of before that time. The Lord knows what he's doing. Your soul is in the safekeeping of his hands. You're not here to be punished. You're not here to endure all types of torture and this, that, and the other. What you've gone through in life, you had to go through in life. Because as it turns out, this life that you're living here is only a transition point. Your life will soon begin when this process ends. All this happens, guys. All this is going to happen. And what are we seeing now in the Middle East? You do realize this is the first time that Iran has directly attacked anybody. Do you know how significant that is? Now, here's the bad part. I have to tell you about this. Right? People are going to jump the gun. But I want you guys to do this. This weekend, right? I want you to start thinking about something. Many people are going to go out and get fuel. You guys remember that dream I told you about? I was walking down the street and the grass was up to my head, but places still had power, but they had no fuel. Cars were sitting everywhere. Nobody had fuel. Electricity still ran, but nobody had fuel. You guys remember that? That was in 2010. You remember that? The trains, same thing. People were pushing strollers with items in the strollers. No one was driving. No one was driving. Trains were running. Something will happen to the fuel. A lot of people are going to go out and try and get some fuel. to save the comfort of their lives or whatever they have to do. Start thinking soberly and have an understanding of something, right? In a best-case scenario, if a person filled up every tank that they have, the fuel is still going to run out. Something happens to the fuel catastrophically, right? The fuel is going to run out. All they're going to do is delay their own suffering. But those who get used to things or consider things without fuel, they're going to do themselves a great service and other people too, right? I know we don't like to go without things. I know we don't. But have you noticed what's been happening? For the last four presidents in the United States, the Lord has been preparing us for surprises. Just like that. He showed us how delicate things are, despite what anybody says. He's been showing us how things can collapse overnight. A lot of people always ask me, well, Mike, what about the money? If the money goes down, if people are going to have money because the Bible says so. You're just not going to have product to buy. You'll still have your money. Everybody's going to be on one central system. You know, they're working at breakneck speed to get that central system online. Well, I made a mistake. It is online. They have upped the plans. It wasn't supposed to be ready until 2026. It is ready in 2024. Now, you don't have to accept the mark of the beast the first time. But we know that after the calamitous time, after everything takes its toll, people are going to have to, they're going to have to take their vow to be a part of the new world. A new world that will be without morals, without guilt, where people can essentially do what they want. And in that, they'll say, see, crime has went down now that everybody can do what they want to do. Crime has gone down and everything else. Don't fall for that. It's going to be a sweet deal for many people. See, because saints are struggling right now. They are. So what happens if somebody offers you $10,000 a month over your current salary? And why are they lying about the oil, the status of the oil? For example, Iran doesn't need anybody's money. They've been feeding money all throughout the world. Do you guys know that? Iran has been doing this. You know, when people find that out for the first time, they are shocked. They're shocked to know that Iran, you know that money the USA had that we were supposed to give to Iran, they didn't even receive it yet. Do you know that? They're not using the money. The U.S. had allotted for them. Do you guys know that? That money has not been used, not one dime of it. Do you guys know that? So what have they been doing? Iran controls a lot of the oil on this planet. Just so you know that. Things are so divisive that people can't see the true power centers rising in the earth. This is what will catch them off guard. But just so you know, it's not going to work out well for them either. Those that eat of a portion of his meat shall destroy him. That's also a biblical principle, which means those that drink the Kool-Aid of who they follow, listen to me. If you drink the Kool-Aid of a person, whoever it is that you follow, right? At some point, you're not going to like that Kool-Aid. And if that person was lifted up within themselves, all those who drank the Kool-Aid will destroy the person they got the Kool-Aid from. That's a principle. Never forget that. Iran is going to do the thing. Right there. And people are going to do their thing. The question mark tonight, the tenuous part tonight, is whether or not Benjamin Netanyahu will go forward counter attack on Iranian nuclear facilities that enrich uranium responsible for weapons. That's a wild card. The other wild card is if Saudi Arabia will fall under any pressure and give up those locations in the Middle East that are critical to U.S. defense, support, and operations in theater. It's going to be critically important. There will be carnage. You all know this. But try not to feed into everybody's ideology. Try and keep yourselves biblically grounded in that truth. Okay? Not so much in everybody, because if you take note, everybody else's truth has failed. And the Bible continues steadfastly in the realm of truth, doesn't it? But everybody else's ideas are failing left and right. People are preoccupied with trying to be right. God is preoccupied with the salvation of all of his children. So remember that. Folks, I'm not going to tie yet, but I might be on a little later, okay? Channel Zero, I'm going to keep that up and running. Channel Zero, if I come back on, I'm going to use that channel to save on bandwidth. It's a faster connection. God bless each of you, right? Hopefully you guys have a little bit of an understanding of what's happening there. I'm sure that people are going to bombard you with lots of info. Taking the information well, but have your anchor in prophecy. Have your anchor in the Word of God always, okay? When I come back, hopefully when I'm using Channel Zero, I'll be able to see everybody. I am running blind. I'm doing this remotely, so tonight it may be different. God bless each of you. I'm going to see you guys next time right here at COT, and hopefully this time I'll be able to see you guys chatting and all that good stuff. God bless you.